We spent hour number one talking about two things, the Masters and Conor McGregor in the UFC. Mostly the latter and not the former. We go into hour number two, and it's more of the same. As I mentioned, I could do an entire program on this story alone. Absolutely incredible what went down yesterday. Joining us now to break it down even further, because he's been on this story for the last 24 hours. He is a journalist for MMAfighting.com. He is the host of the MMA Hour and the MMA Beat. He is outside of the Brooklyn courthouse, where Conor McGregor is expected to emerge in the next hour or so. Ariel Helwani is my guest. Ariel, it's great to have you in the jungle. What's up? How are you?
Jim, it is a pleasure. It's actually an honor listening to you for many, many years. It's about time you call me, Jim, and I wish it wasn't under these circumstances, but it's great to be on talking to you.
Ariel, great to have you on. And in fact, I should have done this a lot sooner. I've been following your work for quite some time. You've done a great job in building your own personal brand. I should have done this sooner. Now, let me ask you this. You were at Media Day for UFC 223 yesterday. Let me first ask, how was Media Day progressing, and then when did everything change?
So Media Day was pretty normal. The rumor was that Conor was contemplating coming to Brooklyn for UFC 223, which is scheduled to take place. And by the way, if you're hearing people yell outside the courthouse, which is where I'm standing, is unrelated. It's a protest going on unrelated to the Conor McGregor incident. So I apologize if they're a little loud. I'm walking away from them as we speak. But it was fairly normal, but there was sort of this cloud hanging over everything. Will Conor show up on Tuesday? One of Conor's best friends and his training partner, Artem Lobov, got into a bit of a skirmish with Khabib Nurmagomedov, who's, at least as of this moment, fighting in the main event tomorrow. But that's a crazy story. This is the craziest 24 hours in the history of the sport, Jim, and that's no hyperbole. We could get to that in a second. But anyway, they get into a skirmish on Tuesday. I'm told Conor saw the footage. That's when he decided, okay, I'm coming to Brooklyn, rallied his friends. They flew in late Wednesday, and then Thursday they came to the media day in search of Khabib Nurmagomedov. They arrived at around 1:20 p.m. Eastern time, so Media Day ended at 1. In fact, I was told that they were planning on actually crashing Media Day, but they were late. They just couldn't get up in time. So then they get to the arena at 1:20, the Barclays Center. No one's there anymore. They find out that the fighters are at the loading dock. They go down the elevator, and then they see that there are the vans taking the fighters back to the hotel because Media Day was wrapping up. They spot Khabib and his team in the van. And there's a bunch of other fighters in the van as well, and that's when the melee ensued. That's when the things were thrown. That's when Michael Chiesa and Ray Borg got injured, and that's the footage that you saw.
Ariel Helwani joining us. Listen, I know that Conor and Lobov are close, but why would that be enough to get Conor and his whole crew to jump on a plane for New York? And do you have any idea what was going through Conor's mind yesterday?
Okay, so Conor and Artem are supremely close. The Artem-Khabib situation revolves around Conor. Conor is very interested in the main event, as it was supposed to be the original main event, Tony Ferguson versus Khabib. Of course, you probably know that Ferguson injured his knee last week while doing interviews in the freakiest way possible. He tripped over a cord. I mean, that was the craziest part of the story, and now it's like the fifth craziest part of the story. And so he was interested and was contemplating coming to support his friend and also watch the fight. But then once he saw essentially his friend Artem cornered by 10 or so Dagestani Russians, he said, okay, enough is enough. And he wanted to make clear that this wasn't any issue with the UFC, the attack on the bus. He has been at odds with the UFC in the past, but this was 100% retaliation in their mind for what they did to Artem. Artem was there as a result. Dana White pulled Artem from the card. Michael Chiesa has been pulled from the card due to the lacerations that he suffered on his face from the broken glass. Ray Borg was pulled from the card due to the glass going into his eye, and he suffered scratches in his cornea. I mean, so they lost three fights on a 13-fight card, and then this morning it was supposed to be Max Holloway stepping in to fight Khabib Nurmagomedov. He was deemed medically unfit to fight. New York pulled him, and now they're searching for an opponent for Khabib Nurmagomedov. You cannot script this stuff. It's unbelievable.
Ariel Helwani joining us. All right, so to that point, you cannot script this stuff. You cannot script this stuff. Help me make this argument, because I've been trying to make it for the past hour or so. It's not scripted. This was not a stage promotion. They didn't do this to try to create any interest. As you point out, Ariel, they lost three fights because of this. Why would Dana White or anybody stage this? Can you help me make that argument? Because a lot of the listeners and clones still aren't buying it.
Jim, I'll try not to get too emotional talking about this, but with all due respect, if anyone is out there banging the drum that this is some kind of WWE storyline concocted by Conor McGregor and Dana White, who, by the way, aren't the best of friends, I mean, you've absolutely lost your mind. I am literally standing outside of a courtroom that Conor McGregor was brought to this morning in handcuffs. Do you think that he wanted this? Do you think this is all part of the plan? Do you think that the NYPD was a part of this whole story? I mean, where does the line kind of end there? You know, if you're asking me, did Conor plan on going after Khabib and creating this melee? Yeah, of course. I mean, that's what they came to do. It's very clear what they were trying to do. So if you want to say that's fine, okay, sure. But if you want to say that the UFC and Conor and Khabib, they're all in cahoots to create some sort of Stone Cold Steve Austin, Vince McMahon storyline, I mean, have a little more respect for the sport that we cover. Yes, it's a little circus-like at times, and, you know, yes, it can be a little freaky at times, as we're witnessing right now. But these are real athletes, and it's a real sport, and there's real injuries involved here. So I have no doubt that if this fight comes to fruition, which in my opinion would be the biggest selling fight in the history of the sport, Khabib versus Conor, they will use this footage like they used the Jon Jones, Daniel Cormier footage and that melee at MGM Grand. But right now, there is no one with a script in the back saying, oh, man, this is working out perfectly for us.
No, thinking that that was staged is really idiotic. One more thought on that, and I thought you explained that very well. But do you think that maybe Conor went there with the intention of making a scene and then it just got away from him and it got out of hand? Or was this his intent all along?
Look, I don't want to speak for him because I haven't had a chance to speak for him. I do know that he did have his personal photographer there. You wouldn't recognize him, but I recognize him, and I've seen him in the footage, and he was holding a camera. So it's not like they were trying to shy away from that. Also, as you saw, there's a ton of footage, and people have cell phones these days, but even like USC got footage, which I'm sure is going to come out at some point. So it wasn't like they were trying to hide. In fact, Khabib Nurmagomedov called me afterwards, and it was somewhat unexpected. It was from an unknown number, so he kind of caught me off guard. And he essentially said, you know, in his broken English, which is very compelling, hey, you know, we're in gangster country here. You want to talk to me? Tell me where you are. I'll come find you. Don't come with cameras. Don't come with your entourage. Don't come throwing things at me. If you want to talk, let's talk. Of course, that didn't happen. He also said he didn't want Conor to go to jail. He wants to actually fight him.
All right, so what about that? He spoke to you after that went down, and you had Khabib on your show recently. For those who don't really know him, how would you describe him? And although you touched on it, what do you think that he makes of what happened yesterday?
Okay, so he may not be a household name here in the United States, but believe me when I say he is a gigantic star in Russia, in Dagestan, where he's from. I mean, he cannot walk outside. That's how big of a star he is. I mean, I would equate him to someone like, say, LeBron James here in the United States. He is as big as it gets right now in Russia. And so he has to walk out with security. He enjoys coming to train in the United States. Oh no, the protesters are coming after me now. They're walking my direction. So he is just a gigantic star. And if he is able to get a belt, if they can put a belt finally around his waist, he is 25-0. He has never lost a round in an official UFC or MMA fight. He has never lost a round in sparring. He has never lost a round in his gym. He is that dominant. He is like a lion in there. If you want to learn more about this guy, go check out his fight in December against Edson Barbosa. I've never seen a high-level fighter like Barbosa get mauled the way Khabib mauled him. There's footage of him at 9 years old wrestling with a bear. That's how he would train. Legit footage of him as a 9-year-old wrestling with a bear with no fear. He is stoic. At times he is expressionless, but he is our equivalent to, say, someone like Triple G because of the way he talks, because of the way he trash talks with the broken English, you know, that Eastern European accent. People love him. They adore him. I would put him right now in the category of Conor and Nate Diaz, not quite at their level, but right below in terms of the biggest stars and the biggest draw in this sport. I mean, this guy is a superstar waiting to break through. He just had horrible luck. And once again, he has horrible luck here because he may not fight on Saturday because as of right this second, they don't have an opponent for him. Unbelievably.
All right, so last thought before you get swallowed up by the protesters, there's a lot to clear up now between, well, legally, for Conor to get through. Do you expect a fight in the future between Conor and Khabib? And if so, what do you think would happen?
Okay, this is all that I can say that I expect right now. They told us at 2:15 Eastern time, 11:15 Pacific, he is going to be arraigned. I'm not a veteran of these situations, but what one of the cops told me was that it shouldn't take very long. They'll set a court date, they'll set bail, and he should be able to walk out of here on his own. Whether or not he's allowed to fly back to Dublin remains to be clear. It remains to be seen. I was actually told by one of the cops, a lot of them are like huge fans of his, which is kind of, you know, funny that they're all like taking part in all this, told me that he's downstairs at the courthouse shadow boxing and has been very cooperative with everyone involved. I mean, it's just a surreal scene. As far as can he fight, will he fight? Look, I think Dana White, who I've been critical of in the past, the way he's sort of lost his passion, his way since the sale. I think he's handled this whole situation very well. I think he's said all the right things. They're not cutting Connor. Do not think that for a second. He is the biggest star in the history of the sport. They need to, you know, they need to weather this storm and circle the date November 3rd, which is the UFC's next date at Madison Square Garden. That, to me, seems like the most logical date for him to return. However, I will say, as you know, New York has been very hesitant to embrace MMA. In fact, they were the last state to legalize MMA, and what transpired in the last 24 hours, I think, doesn't bode well for many more shows coming here, at least for now. These are obstacles that the UFC is going to have to overcome, even though there's such a big moneymaker. But I think if you want to think about a time frame, if all goes well, if there's no legal ramifications, he doesn't go to jail, all that stuff, I've always been told that November would be the best guess right now. So much could change, but that's what I was told before all of this.
He is stationed adjacent to that Brooklyn courthouse, a journalist for MMAfighting.com, host of the MMA Hour and the MMA Beat, Ariel Helwani, my guest. Ariel, great job. Well done. Once again, I should have done it sooner. I'm not going to wait nearly as long next time, and extremely well done by you.
I used to listen to you all the time with my mom, and she got a great thrill when I told her that you finally called me, Jim. So thank you so much. I appreciate it, and keep up the great work.
You can tell moms you crushed it. Nice job, Ariel. Well done. Much respect.